Welcome to the Dog Days of Summer. It is time for grilling and parties and cookouts and all that kind of good stuff, but want you to also be safe this summer. And there are five foods that we're going to talk about that you could come into contact with this summer that could be toxic to your body, and I just wanted you to be aware of them. So stay tuned. We'll talk about these five toxic foods in just a little while. This is Unconventional Wellness. I'm Frank, your host, and we'll talk to you very, very soon. Hey, everyone, and welcome to Unconventional Wellness Radio, a powerful and inspiring podcast set to revolutionize and disrupt healthcare. It's time to put you in the driver's seat and be the force of change necessary for the lifestyle you've always wanted. What is going on? It is Frank, and this is Unconventional Wellness Radio, and I am really excited about bringing you today's content. We are going to talk about toxins that are in our food, things that we actually do not really realize that are there, and we might be consuming these things and they're completely unbeknownst to us. And so I wanted to highlight them. Some you may be familiar with, some you may have never heard of before whatsoever, but without any type of delay, let's jump right in. So I wanted to let you know that this podcast, we are experiencing really good growth, and I probably have every one of you guys to thank because you have left me ratings, reviews, people have been emailing me. I can't thank you enough for the support because I want to make sure that this information gets out there. Where can I find it? That there is a holistic wellness program that we are doing that is so, like, really just, it's so holistic, whole person in nature, that we are focusing on what I call five pillars of health. These are lifestyle choices that we need to make on a daily basis in order to improve our health for the rest of our lives. Because the way that we see it is that most people will get into, you know, health and things like that because we have gone far too long. As a practicing physician assistant, I can attest to this, is that we try to fix problems rather than preventing problems from even happening. Unfortunately, we are a very reactive and not proactive society when it comes to our health. And so we'll usually wait for a problem, say something like high blood pressure or whatever, and then we get the high blood pressure, we get that diagnosis, and then we finally start eating right in order to get our blood pressure to go down. So I would offer to you that let's try to be more proactive and be empowered and informed in order to make better health decisions to improve our outcomes for the future. And if we're already sitting in a situation where we already have some conditions and things like that, I want to help you make those choices so you can turn things back around. Just for an example, somebody is just recently found out within the last 5 to 10 years that if someone actually stops smoking, within about 15 years, the American Lung Association actually states that you can regenerate a lot of your lung tissue that has been damaged due to the smoking that you did in the past. It takes about 15 to 20 years for you to regenerate. Now, yes, I know that seems like a humongous amount of time, but if you were to look at some different smoking cessation time schedules, even within just a couple of hours of having your last cigarette, your blood pressure diminishes, you feel better, you don't feel as lightheaded, and all those sorts of things. I only use that as one example to something where it is never too late to start making those good choices. And so I alluded to the five pillars of unconventional wellness. And I really want to kind of go back and do that again. And so the very first thing that we need to be doing is looking at our nutrition, okay? There are many, many diets out there that are very, very helpful, very useful, and I don't promote just one particular type of diet. I think that there are diets that are specifically necessary for your individual lifestyle and your individual goals. And so I want to talk about all of those, and we talk about that in our nutrition modules. We talk about how to move more. I don't really like the word exercise because exercise to me sounds like work. It sounds like a task. It sounds like a box that we have to check mark throughout the day or for every day of our life. And so instead, I like to look at it as movement. You know, we have a farm here in Western North Carolina, and I get a lot of really great movement. And honestly, what I would consider to be exercise, and all I'm simply doing is working on the property. And you can do that at home as well. You don't have to go move to Western North Carolina and get yourself a farm, but you absolutely can play with your kids, go on hikes or walks with your children, go on hikes or walks with your significant other, get out, enjoy life, enjoy this wonderful planet that we all live on, and get your vitamin D, get out in that sun, because it is good for you, and be able to actually enjoy moving. That way you can have health for life. Okay, so that's module number two. Module number three, we discuss how to get better sleep. I'm a science geek, okay? I love science. I've been trained in those particular types of medicines in terms of, you know, what is the science behind sleep? Why do we sleep? How do we sleep? And what is the purpose of sleep? So sleep is crucial to your lifestyle. There are so many things that happen while you sleep. You would think that, like, all I'm doing when I sleep is that I'm just resting, recovering from that day, if you will, to have energy for the next day. And that is true, but there is a lot of other different physiologic processes that happen during sleep. So module three is all about how to get better restorative sleep. Module four, we move on to how to reduce stress. I tell you what, this is huge. This is a silent, well, actually, it's not as much of a silent killer as it has been, because a lot of us are stressed out. A lot of us have anxiety. And so I really want to discuss those particular things as well. So module four is how to reduce your stress and how to reduce your anxiety. Number five, module five is all about toxins, which brings us to what we're going to talk about today on this podcast. Is we're going to talk about toxic foods, things that we might be consuming that we are unaware of that are actually doing some havoc in our bodies, and that we need to really focus upon, now to be able to remove them from our lifestyle so we can get healthier in the process. So let's talk about these toxic foods today. First and foremost, this is in no particular order. And these are, if you were to do a Google search on toxic foods, you are going to get a lot of different answers and a lot of different lists. Okay. These are the ones that I myself believe, based off of some sound research using some different things like NCBI and National Institutes of Health. I really enjoy seeing those particular studies because we want to make sure that we are giving you science-based information, okay? And then we'll talk about some other things that, you know, really just should be kind of no-brainers, but really just are very toxic as well if you consume them in large quantities. And so first and foremost, the very first one I want to talk about is sugar. There was a recent study just released that specified that sugar can be 8 times more addictive than cocaine. I'll just let that settle in for a second. 8 times more addictive than cocaine. Sugar really has metamorphosized into something that is just huge, okay? It has changed into something that is just beyond me. It is one of the most processed actual compounds that we have that we put inside of food. Now, it started off with regular sugar. I remember back in the 80s and 90s when we went on to something called the low-fat diet. We all thought that if we just don't consume fat, then we would lose weight, right? And we realize that that there's some pseudoscience to that, definitely, because once we remove the fat, a lot of the flavor disappeared from these foods. And so what food manufacturers started doing is they started putting sugar in our products in order to give it some flavor again. And so low fat didn't necessarily mean low sugar. And so with that being said, people were still experiencing weight gain and all that kind of stuff, and then found out that we could start putting sugar into things and make that even really a lot more powerful if we start distilling them down, processing them, and then ergo high fructose corn syrup was created, okay? High fructose corn syrup is something that can cause a lot of different conditions. It, of course, can cause diabetes. It can cause something called metabolic syndrome. It can cause different types of cancers. It's actually been related to cancers as well. There's a couple studies that actually prove that. There is a study of about 35,000 women who consumed more sugar than, you know, really just a regular diet, if you will, and actually they had two times the risk of developing colon cancer. How about that? And so sugar is really addictive in its nature because sugar can actually help the brain release dopamine. Dopamine is something is called the, it's called the feel-good neurotransmitter. Neurotransmitters exist inside of the brain in order to regulate mood, okay? Dopamine being one of those ones that actually gives you a sense of being a lot more happy. And so when you consume sugar, your body will release dopamine inside of the brain, and you love that feeling of dopamine inside of your brain, and so therefore that's the addictive nature of sugar. Okay, so long story short, lots of added sugars found chalk throughout all of our foods. Watch them because they can be really, really dangerous. List is mercury. So mercury is a known toxin. We've known about it for years. And one of the things that we need to watch out for is the mercury that we have in seafood. There are a couple of diets that I've talked about, and that I talk about in Unconventional Wellness, that are a lot of fish, like the Mediterranean diet, for instance, likes to focus on seafood. And so it's not to say that you don't want to eat seafood. By all means, I'm not trying to say that. What I do want to say, though, is I do want to let you know that you want to watch out for accumulation when it comes to how you're getting your seafood, because it is really the biggest reason why people actually come across mercury anyway is because of their seafood consumption. Because what it does, it works its way out into the oceans and things like that. The fish come into contact with them. We eat the fish, and then that's how it actually accumulates, okay? So there is some really good data out there that is talking about the different types of ways that you should be able to get your fish. There are certain areas that are considered lower mercury, so you can do some. You could actually go and do your research and figure it out. Okay. The thing is that the lowest mercury fish areas are the ones that thankfully contain the fish that are best for you. Those are the ones that are highest in omega-3 fatty acids. So we're looking at, salmon and anchovies and sardines and things like that. And so you want to just watch out that your fish is grown in such a way, that it's wild caught and that it's in an area of low mercury and that it is one of those ones that is very high in omega-3 fatty acids. Because there's a quick thing about fatty acids is that we as an American society consume a lot of omega-6s and not a lot of omega-3s. Omega-3s are the ones that have a lot of the cardioprotective and health benefit. We have a lot of omega-6s in our diet and not enough omega-3s. And so we need to make sure that we up the amount of omega-3. So I'm not saying don't eat fish. I'm just saying let's make sure that we do our research to ensure that we're trying to eat those types of fish that are growing the lowest amount of mercuries, grown, that are harvested or whatever, in the lowest amount of mercury that we possibly can. Okay, so that was number two. Number three is BPA or bisphenol A. Bisphenol A has made its way into mainstream media recently, especially in the last 3 to 5 years, because it was found to be a very potent hormone disruptor that is found in plastic containers. And so a lot of different plastics have thankfully started to make the move toward using more of a high density plastic, which does not leach this bisphenol A. But that's the reason why. The reason why we watch plastic containers in our dishwashers is because the high temperatures that are inside of the dishwasher can actually lead to this chemical leaking out of the plastic and therefore into our food when we actually use those things. And so we want to make sure that we watch out for BPA in packaged foods, bottled water, canned items, and things like that. The best way that I like to avoid BPA is I eat fresh food. I don't eat a lot of canned food whatsoever. And then I also do not drink water out of a water bottle unless it's unbelievably pure necessity. And I make sure that it has high density plastics, that will not have a lot of BPA in them if it were to leach out. Because here's the thing about how BPA makes its way into our food, or excuse me, I should say our drinking water out of a bottle. The BPA, it does not normally leak out unless it's high temperature, right? So, like, think about it. You get most of your bottled water right out of a store and especially right out of a refrigerator. But here's the problem. That water has to be shipped, and there are more often than not trucks that are going around the country that are in very hot temperatures that are shipping this water, and you can't see it, but it's happening while it's being shipped, and then it makes its way to your grocery store. It goes onto your refrigerator or something like that, and the BPA is currently in it because it was there during its transit, okay? So BPA, number three on our list. Number four we want to talk about is different types of refined vegetable and seed oils, okay? Vegetable and seed oils came into existence a couple of years back because, we wanted to have these vegetable oils because we were considering that they were lower in cholesterol or they would help reduce our cholesterol and stuff like that. And come to find out that it's actually creating a empty type of fat. And so we want to transition more so into heart-healthy fats. Saturated fats are something that we really like to make sure come from natural sources. It's the trans fats that we're going to talk about that are the things that absolutely wreak havoc, cause inflammation, and all that disruption inside of your body. So make sure that you're consuming a good ratio of 1-to-1, say omega-3 to omega-6s, or even like a 3-to-1 omega-3s or omega-6s, because we get far too many omega-6s in our diet. So just don't eat vegetable and seed oils in high doses. Heart healthy olive oil, coconut oil is a really good opportunity to swap those out. Okay. So that was number four. Number five, we talked about trans fats. I just quickly alluded to that. Trans fats are, probably the most unhealthiest of fats that you could possibly consume. The thing is that the way that a trans fat is made is that, processors take hydrogen and they pump it into, like an unsaturated oil in order to make them a solid fat. So think like, probably the basis of a lot of our shortenings, like, some of the name brand shortenings that are out there have hydrogen pumped into it because it'll take it from that liquid type of oil and turn it into a solid. Okay. You can't recognize, your body just doesn't know, like, what do I do with this trans fat? I have no idea what to actually do with this trans fat. And so trans fats equal higher amounts of inflammation in the body. When there was a study done, it was 730 women who consumed, trans fats and looked at different inflammatory markers, one of which is called C-reactive protein. C-reactive protein is showing that it has a pretty decent indicator of heart disease, okay, in terms of a risk factor, if you will. And so women who had high trans fats, about 3/4 of those women studied out of the 730 actually had a higher level of CRP when it was actually measured. Okay. And so, they are extremely inflammatory, bad for chronic illness, bad for heart problems. So you just need to remove those trans fats out of your diet. I'm going to give you one more. This is my bonus one, by the way. And, I'm saying this because it is the summer after all. It's the season of barbecuing and smoking, and I love both. But I always have to watch this because it's extremely easy to get myself into this sort of like beyond having too much of a good thing can also be bad. And so, with all of this grilling and cooking and things like that outside, we're looking at polycyclic aromatic hydrocarbons. This is the bonus on our list, or PAH, okay? Red meat is good in moderation. It's not something that we should be consuming all of the time. And so we want to watch out when we grill meats, when we're cooking them at high temperatures, it can actually have that fat becomes rendered out of the meat, drip down onto these surfaces, and then it can actually create these PAHs that can actually get into our meat. In addition, taking charcoal and not consuming it all the way can actually cause PAHs to form. So the long story short of PAHs is that they are toxic. They can cause cancer. Researchers have seen that. And so we want to really watch out with smoking and grilling a lot of red meat. We want to kind of pre-cook is really what you want to do, is you want to remove the drippings as quickly as you can. Don't let them just fall all over your grill, okay? Because upwards of almost 90% of PAHs can actually be reduced with proper cooking methods. And so you can pre-cook things, say on the stove, remove the drippings from those things, and then go out and finish them on the grill at like a lower heat. Does that make sense? And so you can actually watch the amount of hydrocarbons that you're actually consuming when you are when you're cooking with these, okay? When you look at red versus white meats, if you will, there is more of a connection with colon cancer because of PAH in red meat. So you're looking at beef, pork, lamb, and veal, right? Whereas poultry and fish actually have a neutral effect. And so you just want to make sure that you properly cook and then finish off on the grill by removing the drippings as much as possible. And so that is our quick list of toxic foods that we might be eating. Let's clean those up this summer and let's move toward not getting these here in the immediate future. Hope that that was some interest to you. If you found interest in that, please subscribe to this podcast. Better yet, not only subscribe, give us a 5-star rating to let us know that this is providing value for you. Okay, we love to see your ratings. We love to see your reviews. And by getting us 5 stars, I'm able to get this podcast out to even more people. And so please leave me a rating and review. I've been already receiving some and I love them and I think you guys are fantastic. And so if you wouldn't mind, please take a couple of minutes and do just that. Also, if you would like to see different types of topics, by all means, give me an email, frank@ritzessentials.com, and please let me know what your podcast desires are, and I will like to really work toward fulfilling those desires, okay? And so, without further ado, this is Unconventional Wellness Radio. I am Frank, I am your host, and I have the distinctive privilege of coming to you on this podcast because I want you to have unconventional wellness and live in a toxic world that you can live very healthy and get that optimized health that you have always deserved. So until next time, have a wonderful week, and we will talk to you again on our very next podcast. Take care, everybody.